Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Starting for them now.
He's starting right,
right
now because of the injuries.
Yeah, I mean, they're banged up. That's the problem for all these teams. You know, the Nuggets are the only ones that have been insulated from injury, it seems like, in the West.
Yes, yeah.
You know, everybody else has been kind of nicked up.
And the Nuggets, even with being insulated from injury, have not been awesome since the All-Star break.
We got them at home. I was excited when I saw the Grizzlies match up against the Nuggets recently.
But, yeah. Now, on to the NFL and on to Lamar Jackson.
Here we go with the saga of Lamar.
Sent a memo to all clubs letting them know that the NFLPA informed the league that a person by the name of Ken Francis, who is supposedly Lamar calls him his business partner, he's not an NFLPA certified agent. But he's contacting teams on behalf of Lamar Jackson, attempting to persuade them into negotiations for Lamar Jackson services. The NFL memo said that teams are prohibited from negotiating offer sheets or potential trades with individuals not certified by the NFLPA. This isn't a new rule. But then they added this: any team that does can be fined $54,409, which is, again, for franchises. I mean, this is.
Yeah, it's in the grand scheme.
This is sock money. I get that. But that's the fine amount for 2023. Lamar calls Ken Francis his business partner. He put out a tweet yesterday that he is going in with Ken Francis on a thing called the Entire Gym that they're trying to launch. And it's basically a handheld gym that you can bring to a field, to all these things. It's got weights and
little
everything
free weights,
it.
And it's like, yes, a home setup type deal. Okay.
But ultimately,
great.
The whole
now
Lamar,
he's an entrepreneur as well as his own agent.
Right. The whole Lamar Jackson situation, it's getting to be so laborsome to discuss and talk about in a real way, because ultimately, to have Ken Francis, who's not an NFLPA certified agent, try to talk to teams on behalf of you. If you're Lamar, this is not smart.
This is a joke.
This is stupid. Lamar needs to make sure he goes through the right avenues. I understand, like, this is the risk you run ultimately when you don't have an agent, when you don't have someone in your corner. And we've said that the whole time. Betting on yourself works if you do it correctly. You can bet on yourself with an agent. That agent will ultimately talk to teams. They can go do that, and they can discuss around the league what the availability is. But he doesn't have people in his ear being able to tell him how other teams are valuing him at this moment, and that becomes a massive issue. And I fully understand. I will completely admit this situation is bizarre as hell. Lamar Jackson's a 2019 unanimous MVP. He can run the ball. He's got some throwing ability. If you get him in the right system, you can do some things with him. But ultimately, you know, teams not wanting him and teams not valuing him and him not knowing which teams out there would be willing to go get him on the open market, this comes down to him not helping himself on the front end.
You know, the NFLPA should look into this, or somebody with the league, into mandating that they have representation. And then the agent gets hired by the player that's certified through the NFL, and then they get to negotiate what the percentage is. You know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't have to be an agent who takes 10%. It could be damn 5%, and I hire you instead.
And I still wonder how contentious the conversations are between the Ravens and Lamar Jackson. I'd imagine they've gotten to a pretty substantial point.
I see.
But even with that, with the lack of other teams really wanting to go get into the sweepstakes, I do think there is an opportunity for the Ravens and Lamar Jackson to make up. And it feels like, ultimately, this is a money issue. This is not them hating each other. This is not them thinking, well, Lamar may not like the fact that they haven't got wide receivers, that they haven't gotten weapons to surround him. He may hate all of that. But at the same time, this is a money issue that they're going back and forth on that they haven't been able to settle on a
number. It was set up by the Deshaun Watson contract,
yes,
too, a little bit.
And if they can find some type of common ground, which you would have thought they would have met at some point along the road the last 2 years, if they can find common ground on money, I still think that he plays for the Ravens next year. But we're going to have to see. This is something we're going to have to monitor throughout the offseason. I don't know when the whole saga ends. But this is not a good look for Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson has to take it upon himself to make sure Ken Francis is not doing all this, his supposed business partner. If he's going to have someone reach out on behalf of him, it has to be an NFLPA certified agent. Go through the right avenues. Then we can finally figure out what the plans are next year for a former unanimous MVP. I want to see him on the field. I want to see him succeed, but he's got to help himself this offseason. Now let's go ahead and get to a break. When we come back, Jeff Calk.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
We'll join the show. Jeff Calkins is the columnist of the Daily Memphian, host of the Jeff Calkins Show 9 to 11 on 92.9 FM ESPN. He joins the Gabe Kuhn Show now on Twitter at Jeff_Calkins. Jeff, how goes it?
Good, Gabe. Do you ever do in your days as an offensive lineman in an effort to improve your flexibility and all of that? Did you ever do yoga?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, really?
100%. Yes.
Do you still do yoga?
No. No, I can't say I do.
You did yoga. Was it part of the did the football team have you doing yoga?
They would do it once a week. I actually went out of my way to do it twice a week. So we did. I do one with the team and one elsewhere. And then when I was doing my training,
a yoga instructor, there'd be like a yoga leader in there leading the whole team in yoga.
Yes. Yes. Correct. And then
mandatory or for just offensive linemen?
No, it was just for anybody who wanted to show up. It wasn't mandatory. But I know that mandatory in college football sometimes usually means show the hell up. But I don't think it was that way. When I was getting ready for my pro career, that never that never materialized. We know about that.
Right. More yoga might have helped there.
I used to go ahead. Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Used to always do yoga.
Really?
Wow.
Yes.
Where'd you do it?
This was in Chicago when I was training.
Oh, I see.
So Monday, Wednesday, Friday with EFT Performance there in Chicago.
And were you good at it?
that's relative.
Yoga, of course, is not the kind of thing. A yoga person would say that's not a question that you would ask. Yoga is not something that you're good at
yes.
or bad at. It's a practice, and we all, you just have to make it to your mat, Gabe, and
yes.
And do the best you can and listen to your body on that day.
So
you know?
I think most people would say for a 6'4", 310-pound man at that moment, I think most people would say I was good at yoga, considering.
Really?
Did you do a full back bend, that thing?
Yes, like the thing,
mostly. Well, I couldn't hold it for that long.
But you could do that where you're like feet are on the ground and then you're twisted backward and your hands are on the ground.
One of my pet peeves with a lot of the yoga instructors I came across in my playing career is they'd say, you can hold any position for 30 seconds. I said, to hell with that. No, you can't. Not at this weight. But I used to, you know, yoga for me used to turn into hot yoga. It was very sweaty, and I know a lot of people that are good at yoga.
It was hot yoga.
Yes, correct.
Yes.
Correct. So, but, I mean, this begs the question, why off the top? Have you delved into yoga?
I do. So since I used to run a lot, and then my knee started hurting. And so then I had to find, you know, other ways to stay in shape. So I started cycling, and I did that, and I still do that a little, although I'm kind of a wimp, and I don't cycle as much when it's cold.
Yeah.
Like I'm not. So.
Are you not into the Peloton at home? No Peloton?
Yeah, I now own one of those.
Okay,
that's
nice.
Really recent. But I became one of those, you know, those people on bikes who you sort of roll your eyes at with the spandex and, you know, whatever. And
yep.
I became one of them. And I did last September, I did a 100-mile ride in Arkansas. That was fun. And but then the other thing I started doing was I started doing hot Pilates and hot yoga. And at the hot I needed, because yoga, I feel like if I'm working out, I want to feel pain. You know, like you want to feel like you're working out. And so the hot
yep.
creates the sweaty, you know, you may carry your own humidity with you. But,
yes, I do.
So I do it. Although I tend to avoid the yoga because it's a lot of balance and I'm not great at it, which is a reason I should do it more, but is in fact a reason I do it less. But anyway, I was worried that I would be late to pick up the phone because I was coming out of my hot yoga class.
But I enjoy yoga. I really do. It's peaceful, relaxing for the most part.
Well, and it's not as easy as one would think. You know,
yeah.
It is actually a and I
challenge.
I do think, you know, it's I do think it's helpful. I mean, honestly, let's be honest. As Memphians, if you did something to move every single day and ate a little less, you know, pork, whatever, a little less fat, we'd all be better off. And so, anyway, that's I was only asking because I was literally sitting outside this yoga studio waiting for you to call, and I was worried that I wouldn't get to you in time. But here I am, feeling all flexible and. And there you go. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So I learned you do yoga, and earlier Brad let me know in regards to Eric Musselman and the wax versus shave thing with his body hair. We learned that Brad Carson here is a shaver.
Yeah.
Wait.
I don't know if you knew this.
Yeah.
This is something that happened on the top of the show.
This
was huge.
Just what the listeners are looking for.
I missed the whole Musselman thing. What's the Musselman thing?
Well, Musselman, remember, he took his shirt off after beating Kansas, and he was hairless.
We missed it last night because he didn't win.
So we discussed about shaving versus waxing. Me and Bennett have been talking about it all week.
Yeah.
And Brad here let us know that he's a shaver.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's important to know. I think, yeah,
grossed out.
Brad, how long have we been together on this radio station?
Oh, gosh. It's been 13? Has it been 13 in a couple months? Yeah.
Happily, Gabe, I went 13 years without knowing one way or another.
Well,
yeah, hopefully
he let it be known. See, I didn't need to know, but he let it be known.
No, I think you asked.
He let it be known.
You kind of asked.
Well, because
I did not just volunteer that. I think was the lead up to it.
I had questions.
You know, Gabe is a question asker, Jeff. So.
And by the way, also, before we actually get to last night's games, you mentioned the spandex and the riding of bicycles,
yep.
And you say that people would roll their eyes at you. I will back you up on this, because if you ever tried to ride a bike for more than a mile with just regular gym shorts on, that's uncomfortable.
Well, here's the problem. Yes. Uh-huh, there's no question. So what happens is you think, oh, I'm going to start riding a bike, but I'm not getting like those ridiculous people. And then so you're exactly right. You get on a bike and ride it for more than 15 minutes, and you're like, padded shorts seems like a good idea. So then you get the padded shorts, and then you realize that those shorts don't have pockets. And
yes.
So then you end up with the jersey with the pockets, in the back there, right? So you get your keys, your wallet, whatever it is, in the back. And honestly, if you don't have a helmet, you're an idiot. And so pretty soon, and then the other thing, but I started doing this, I talked about it with Gary. The other thing you do is you, which I never thought I would do, is you get the shoes that click in. I'm like, I'm
lock in? Okay. Oh, no.
Because I want to put my feet, I want to be able to put my foot down, right? I want to be able to, if I'm not going to do that, I'm going to leave my foot out in the free as a breeze. But then as soon as you're riding for whatever, 30 miles, you realize it's stupid. Of course you click in. And honestly, it's not even a big, the first time you do it, you're like, oh no, what if I fall and break my neck? Well, my feet are latched into these pedals. And then you realize it's ridiculous. So they come right out. And so it makes no sense not to click in. And the other thing is, because so many people are doing the damn Peloton now.
Yep.
That has a click in anyway. Like, so everyone's clicking into the Peloton.
At home?
So, yes.
Like you're on the road riding? You do this at home now too? Click in?
Yep. You're a Peloton? Yeah, the Peloton you click into. Yeah.
Yeah, it's got to be easier to unclick, though. I mean, is it easy to unclick when you're on like a when you're live riding?
Is it easier? It's not easier or hard. I mean, is it easier? I've never.
Can you put your foot down? Can you immediately take it out and put your foot down so you don't fall?
I have yes. Okay. I have never. I have never knock on whatever. First of all, the real problem with cycling is it takes too long to get a workout in. Whereas running, you can just run for. You know, half an hour and you're done. Cycling, it's for whatever reason, you got to go for a while. It takes a couple of hours. You know, the other reason is imminent death because people are going to run over you or you're going to fall or you're going to break your shoulder or like you can't talk to anyone who's done this for any length of time without having a bad fall. But for all the falling worries, I have never fallen because I couldn't put my foot down. You just, you know. That is not a real
yes.
concern.
Okay.
It flips out easily. The truth of the matter is, you know, the real problem is if you're with a group, the real problem is once you stop at a stop sign and then you start going again, the real problem is clicking in is a little trickier. And so like there, you're being left behind when you're trying to get your damn foot in the pedal. And like the newbie I was, or am really still. So, what you realize is whatever you're into, whether it's playing golf or, playing Pokemon or trading, whatever the heck you're into, there's a culture involved with all of it.
Yes.
You know what I mean? There is a little culture. And it's sort of been interesting I at least witness to this yoga culture. I'm witness to the cycling culture. There's a whole, you know, it's just sort of, you know, whatever. I'm sure people who do macrame or whatever, there's a
right.
whole culture there too. But anyway, what do you do now? So what do you do to work out? You go lift.
I honestly, to be honest with you, I walk about 30 minutes a day and do light lifting. I had to go through a transition coming out of football that I felt when I played football and even, you know, the months following it when I was out of it, I always felt the need to work out like I was still playing football.
Right.
And I, you know, you go too hard, you're sore all the time. I had to coach myself out of it. So now light walking, 30 minutes on an incline and just light lifting, whether it's upper body, lower body.
You walk on a
treadmill.
On a treadmill. You don't walk around.
Good old e-sporta. Good old e-sporta on
pop. While watching some sporting event.
Yes, correct.
Or whatever.
Correct, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's an official way to do it.
Yeah, it's been NIT as of late. It's been NIT as of late or women's college basketball. So,
well, were you watching last night on whatever one? Did you see this unfortunate incident involving?
No, I didn't get to watch that. It wasn't on the TVs at eSport.
Right.
But
I'm sure.
Well,
anyway.
Okay, but what I mean, ultimately, yes, it shouldn't happen. And I think when you get into a situation where you're going to raise charges against somebody. We hide behind the mask of sports too often in these incidents. I can fully acknowledge that, but I don't know if it should really follow Jamyra Schutz, who obviously, if people haven't learned, I think most people know Jamyra Schutz, punch day girl on the Bowling Green roster, on the Bowling Green team last night after the game.
Yeah. I mean, I saw in various Tiger message places people sort of saying, oh, they, you know, broke it down and like it's a Bruder film. Like, you know, was it really more of a shove than a punch or whatever? I do think that just because something happens in the context of sports, all bets are not off necessarily.
I agree.
Having said that, if there was no particular harm done, you know, I don't know the woman's condition. I don't know, you know, and I didn't break down the thing, you know, well enough to, I tend to think it's a fight, you know, like, yeah. I don't know, like you've used very certain, you know, there's fights on the football field. There's fights on every
Miami Beach Bowl fight. I remember
there was exactly.
There were no charges there.
There were no charges. Was there any real harm done to anybody?
Oh yeah, I mean there was some blood. Somebody got good old Kai Nakua from BYU was leaking pretty good from under his eye.
He was leaking pretty good.
Yeah, but he also threw an unnecessary punch too, so it went both ways in that situation.
Yeah, and that does change it a little bit. Like if you're the victim of the punch, and you didn't throw a punch, and you're just cold cocked. I can see why you. But in the end, it's obviously a lousy thing to do. Poor judgment, lousy thing to do. Shouldn't happen. We can agree all of that. I also think that if there's no particular harm done, it shouldn't define Jamyra Schutz and stay with her forever. And I suspect.
Yes.
I suspect even if they're, you know, I can't imagine that she's going to be, you know, have some conviction such that she's not going to be, you know, going to be a convicted felon for the rest of her life. I have a difficult time believing it will come of that. If there's something happened, I would think it would be ultimately expunged or dropped
yes.
or something, or, you know, pleaded out, whatever, something.
Yes. It's just trying to make an example in the moment.
Right. Yeah. It was an unfortunate way for a really fine season to end, because here we are, that's what we're talking about when it comes to women's basketball, as opposed to the fact that they really did revitalize what was essentially dead program.
Let me ask you about this then. Miami Beach Bowl brawl comes around, great season, 10-win season. What was the discussion the next day on these airwaves about that season in particular? Did it take away?
Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. Not in the slightest. It was,
okay.
My God, I don't know what the actual, I wasn't able to score the fights in the Miami Beach Bowl. So maybe,
oh,
maybe
we won.
I would have felt
we
good.
Won. I will tell you that right now. We won.
Yeah. The feeling then was beat the hell out of them on the field, beat the hell out of them in the fights. Go Tigers. Like that's what that was. Now partly, but it felt like it was a brawl as opposed to a,
one punch and then everybody
out of
the way.
Different. If it still would have been, yeah, and that's a little bit of a different situation. Secondly, we didn't see it quite as much up close. Thirdly, it is weird how it works that basketball brawls tend to get more of a spotlight on them. You know, they're not wearing pads, they're right there, they look a little, you know, there's fights in football all the time, right? And yet, when it happens in basketball, we sort of remember it, or it's a scandal, or it's the like. I don't know why that is, but I think it's true. Obviously, hockey fights are just built right in. So, no, there was no sense at all of, oh, isn't it a shame that those lads were fighting? There was the sense, fair or not, there's the sense. BYU is a dirty program.
Yes,
they take cheap shots and. And thank God the Tigers, plus it was such a fantastic game, honestly. It was a fantastic
awesome.
Game that people were, but the emphasis wasn't really on the fights. It was more on the game than the fights, but the fights were seen as seen as an added attraction rather than a demerit. And maybe that's sexist. Maybe that's part of it too. I don't really know, but maybe it's football, but no, it was not. It was not considered any great black mark on the program.
Now, I do need to mention, I was not involved in any of the fights. I never threw a punch. I played 102 plays in that game. I was not interested in any altercations after the game. I have to rid myself of that before. I ask you one more thing, Jeff Calkins, from the Daily Memphian, from the Jeff Calkins Show, from 9 to 11. How do you feel about FAU in this run they're on, and how do you think Tiger fans should feel about FAU in this run they're on?
Well, what's funny is, you asked me this yesterday, and I was so clear that there was only one right answer.
Of course.
The right answer would be for Memphis to be in the Elite Eight. That would have been the right answer, right? And so you're going to feel regret forever if you're a Memphis Tiger fan. And there was nothing that could have happened last night that would have taken that away. With Florida Atlantic and Tennessee. Either way, it would have left the way this whole thing has gone would leave a bitter taste in your mouth and a feeling of my God, should be us, et cetera. My position yesterday was, when you and I were talking, that, okay, be that as it may, it's very clear that Memphis fans want Florida Atlantic to win, and particularly want Tennessee to lose. I thought that was very clear. I didn't think there was any debate. If you had to have watched Florida Atlantic, which you have nothing particular, you have nothing really against them, if you had them advance, okay, you'll feel like some pang of regret. But if Tennessee advances, you'll just feel sick. It's your rival across state, won't play you, won't even really admit to being a rival. And honestly, if you're being honest with yourself, they have had the better program for the last decade. The one thing that you have over Tennessee in basketball is, you know, Final Fours, Elite Eights, like, is postseason success. So if Tennessee starts stacking postseason success on top of it, you're like, I don't need that to happen if you're a Memphis fan. So I thought it was pretty clear. You want Tennessee to lose. You want Florida and Atlantic to win. You want exactly what happened.
Yeah.
But when I opened up the calls today, it was still, more people wanted Tennessee to lose than otherwise. But it was closer than I thought, because that the presence of Florida Atlantic continuing to win and being where Memphis fans feel Memphis should be is a reminder to Memphis fans of where they should be. It hurts. But I don't think it hurts any more than Tennessee being there would hurt.
Yeah, I agree. And by the way, on the rival front, I mean, how can you claim you're not a rival with someone when you're wearing Where's Memphis t-shirts to a Sweet 16 game?
Right.
I mean, it's just hard for me to, I mean, I feel like there's at least a subtle admission that they're rivals.
The idea that you're there at Madison Square Garden and you're thinking about Memphis, it's kind of, and by the way, if there was any doubt about who Memphis fans should have been rooting against, those t-shirts sort of would have clinched it, right?
Yes, 100%.
Who are you, Tennessee? Like, so, But if there had been an option yesterday for both teams to lose, I think Memphis fans would have picked it. But sadly, that was not on the table, you know. And so we were left with what we were left with. And I think you can enjoy, if you're a Memphis fan, you can enjoy Rick Barnes's the fact that in five different trips to the tournament, each time he has lost to a higher seeded, lower seeded, whatever you want to call it, a team that by seeding should not have lost to.
Yes,
this is my fundamental view. When your team fails in that great moment of sadness, the way to console yourself is to take comfort in pettiness and bitterness.
I'm with you too.
And so that is the safe place, the healthy outlet for your frustration. And so that's where Memphis fans should be living right now, in pettiness and bitterness. And that is wishing for Tennessee to lose, which was accomplished last year.
And if you want to go full silver linings with FAU, they are joining the conference next year. You want them to be good.
But is that a good thing or a bad thing?
That coach is going to be gone, isn't he? Dusty May is probably going to be gone either, if not this offseason, next offseason. So, I mean, but if you really want to do the whole silver linings thing,
you also
want to
be dominating the conference. Do you want them to be picking up all of this? I think so. You want quad one wins with Houston and Cincy and UCF leaving. Yep.
So,
Danny, you're right.
Yeah. So there's
you're right.
Yeah. Yeah. But appreciate it, Jeff.
Anyway, it was a great night of basketball.
It was fantastic.
I mean, my son was at the Michigan State game, and that was just unbelievable. I mean, that was as much fun as you can.
Malik Noel, Keontae Johnson. Noel. I love the story of that program too. I love Jerome Tang is awesome too.
Whole thing's just the best. And the alley oop is just a cake.
God.
Do you believe they are saying that it was not planned? It was simply Noel saying, arguing with his coach, seeing out of the corner of his eye, and throwing the alley oop.
I don't buy it. I think there was some planning to it.
They're just not admitting it.
I don't think they're admitting
it. They're not admitting it.
It was so choreographed, right?
It was perfect.
Like, he drops his arm and immediately he throws the lob.
The reason
Jerome Tang drops his arm, lob.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is that they were arguing so extravagantly, you know, with hand motions and everything else. They were really putting their all into the argument, as if you were faking an argument, that is what the argument would look like, right?
Yes,
if you were faking an argument. So I guess we'll never know.
Also, I don't know how many arguments you needed to have with Malik Noel last night. I don't know if anything should arose to have him being arguing with right. Jerome Tang, 19 assists, NCAA tournament record. He played pretty well.
Yeah,
for sure. But, Jeff, appreciate it, man.
All right, good to talk to you.
Have a good weekend. That's Jeff Calkins, @Jeff_Calkins on Twitter, columnist of the Daily Memphian, host of the Jeff Calkins Show, 9 to 11 on 92.9 FM ESPN. Let's go ahead and get to a break. When we come back, we have plenty to get to. Sweet 16 games tonight. We'll talk about the Jamyra Schutz incident, and we'll get to a little bit of NFL news right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. If you're a whiskey lover on the...
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Hunt for the perfect sip, watching the games tonight, watching the Grizzlies over the weekend. Let me point you in the right direction. That's Old Dominic Tennessee Whiskey. I know I have a bottle waiting for me at home. It's the perfect sip for you while watching the ball games. It's made right here in downtown Memphis, and we have to add first whiskey to be distilled, barreled, aged, and bottled in Memphis since Prohibition. It's going to be really good. It's got hints of maple and sugar. It's finished and distilled using charcoal, so it's going to be very subtle, a little bit smoky, but it's fantastic for sipping. Great, great drink. Their newly released Tennessee whiskey is now available in Memphis, Arkansas, and Mississippi. Look for their new Tennessee whiskey and all of their great products at your favorite retailers. Or ask for it by name at your favorite locally owned restaurant. They probably have it. But why stop there? Head on downtown and witness firsthand their state-of-the-art distillery and learn what makes Old Dominic so damn special. Whether you're stopping in for a refreshing drink while exploring Memphis, joining them for a tour and tasting, finishing up a night out, Old Dominic has something for everyone's taste and an elevated yet relaxed atmosphere. It's great for special events, wedding reception, whatever it may be. But there's more. They're the official spirit of Memphis, the Memphis Grizzlies. Look for their new Tennessee whiskey and all their great products this playoff season inside FedEx Forum at their two bar locations where they're serving up craft cocktails. Go to olddominic.com to get your tour all booked up and to check out all their great products. That's olddominic.com. Old Dominic Distillery, come say hi. All right, it's come that time. Let's get to the Blitz.
Now, the biggest stories.
Overloading the line.
A bull rush of info. It's Gabe's Blitz on the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
All right, we start with the Sweet 16 tonight. SDSU, that would be San Diego State. Bama, 5-30.
Tipped off right now, by the way. Yes?
It is.
6-3. 6-3. We have it right now, 6-3.
I don't know
with
why
4 minutes into the game.
Here, and I need to change.
But then we're going to have Miami, Houston at 6:15. Princeton versus Creighton at 8. Xavier versus Texas at 8:45. I really like the matchups tonight. I don't think it'll live up to what last night was. Last night was unreal. You had three games that came down to the wire, one big upset, and they really were classics. We could see that tonight in certain games. The two I want to point out are Miami versus Houston and Xavier versus Texas. Miami versus Houston is going to be a battle of sort of contrasting styles. Houston slows it down. Houston plays defense. Miami doesn't worry about defense. They play a lot of offense. Like I said, Miami, 10th most efficient offense in NCAA, in the NCAA. Also, Houston, 4th most efficient defense in the NCAA. Something's got to give there. And Miami, when you look at what they've been able to accomplish, I mean, Jim Larrañaga is getting up there in age, but we have Isaiah Wong, Jordan Miller, Norchad Omir, Nigel Pack. They have so many different ways to beat you offensively, and Houston's going to have to keep up. And what Miami did in rebounding, what they were able to do in rebounding against Indiana, a big up front Big Ten team, I think that this could be a very good game. It's 7.5 right now. I would take Miami plus the 7.5 right this second. Xavier versus Texas. This is big for Rodney Terry. If he gets through to the Elite Eight, I think it's going to – I mean, right now I think it's hard to not hire him.
Yeah.
But if he gets through to the Elite Eight, I think it's going to be even worse of a situation if Texas does not pull the trigger immediately. Maybe they'll wait till after the season, but Texas is a very, very good basketball team. They're the two seed I feel like people aren't talking about. I feel like people are sort of writing them off to a certain extent, and I don't really understand why. Dylan Dessou, one of their big men, has showed up throughout the entirety of the NCAA tournament. I'd expect that again tonight. They have good guards that can go score. They're a fun team, and they're 4.5-point favorites, 4-point favorites right now against Xavier, and Xavier's a good team as well. I think those two games will be close. I think ultimately Bama, San Diego State, I think Bama will pull away.
Yep.
And then Creighton over Princeton. I don't have much hope for Princeton. I think the Cinderella ride comes to an end.
Should be a fun night of hoops. And then Memphis, of course, the women going to the NIT, the 16 finalists there, losing to Bowling Green. You have Jamyra Schutz in the line punching Alyssa Brett in the handshake line.
That's brutal to me. It cannot happen.
I think I'm hitting these out of sequence, by the way. I'll get better with the sound effects.
Good. It cannot happen. Jamyra Schutz can't do that. No. To hell with trying to make any excuse for
it's
emotions.
Tough. It's a tough look there.
I'm glad it didn't escalate, though. I think the coaches and the players did a good job of separating it immediately.
Yeah.
Schutz ultimately charged with assault. I hope we don't have to see this all the way through. I think it's stupid, but I don't think there's a reason to let this define part of someone's life. And I'm talking about Jamyra Schutz. Certainly I hope Alyssa Brett is okay. And Jamyra needs to know this can't be condoned. But the charges for it, if it ultimately goes through, will always be there. And it seems over the top. And do I agree that we allow a lot to pass because of players' emotions running high? And being in sport, we let a lot pass in fights because of that. I don't think that can be an excuse. But I hate that this season, in a lot of ways, in the end of the season, gets defined off of that. The loss, the meltdown. We went through this with the Miami Beach Bowl, right?
Do you think they should get rid of the handshake line?
No, I'm not there. I think that you should be able to go dap someone
up. I'm with you on that, by the way. I'm with you.
I think there should be some sportsmanship involved. Now, if you
should be able to civilly do this.
I'll say this. If you know the emotions are running high and you know that you have people on your team that are uncomfortable with it, I think you should maybe avoid it.
Maybe pass it.
And that's sort of a time-by-time, team-by-team situation. But no, I think we always overreact when things like this happen to handshake lines. Handshake lines are just fine.
I agree with that. Panthers signing DJ Chark has been a Pro Bowler, a big yards getter there with the Jags in 19.
Yeah, I like this, and you pair him with Adam Thielen.
Yeah.
And now, you know, you look at Frank Reich, if he's going to draft the front office there with the Panthers, if you draft C.J. Stroud, he's going to have some weapons to go make something happen. That offensive line's getting better. That defense is solid. You're in a bad division. As long as you keep trying to add things around.
You're talking yourself into this.
As long as you keep trying to add some things around him, I think you can be a decent team. But again, the trade they made and what they gave up in DJ Moore to go get the number one overall pick, I just think it's so bizarre to me because it didn't raise their ceiling to a team that's going to compete for championships in the next 4 to 5 years. I just don't see that happening. And now, granted, you're going to have a theoretically good quarterback in good hands with Frank Reich
better.
Over 4 to 5 years with a rookie contract, but it better work out based on what you did with the Bears. I think DJ Chark's a fine signing. But in the end of the day, I don't know if it's going to move the needle all that much. I think he caught for 500 yards last year. I think he can do the same in a Panther uniform. They'll be a better team, theoretically. But, this Panthers team, based on what they've done this offseason, it's kind of weird and hard to jump on their bandwagon full.
You think it's going to be Stroud?
Yeah, I absolutely do. And I like Bryce Young. Bryce Young's the guy at the top of my board.
Really?
If I was going to draft.
Even with the measurables and stuff?
Even with the measurables. Because he does a lot of stuff from the pocket. He uses his legs more. He showed he used his legs. And let's be honest about that Alabama team. They didn't have the weapons on the outside. If they didn't have him, that's an 8 or 9 win team. Mm-hmm. And he still got them over the top offensively. And I just think he's so good. And we've seen guys like Drew Brees, Russell Wilson, whatever it is, even if they're short, they can kill you from the pocket. I think Bryce Young is a good iteration of that, and I think he can do that. But when we look at Frank Reich, he's never had a quarterback under 6'4".
Right.
I'd imagine C.J. Stroud's the pick.
Ravens, talk me into this one. It's the one-year deal with you were really high on this guy on the tees. Nelson Agholor
really
as a receiver.
High. Yeah. Is that right?
Was that hyperbole?
No, I was really high on this.
Thank you.
No, all I can say is this is so damn on brand.
Yeah.
Go get a late 20s, early 30s wide receiver that's past his day, and the Ravens go sign him for a one-year deal. Nelson Agholor's been on how many one-year deals at this moment? It's just
all
amazing to me. Yeah, we talked about Lamar earlier and all the issues he's having right now, but the Ravens are still not showing that they're inclined to go sign guys and make the pieces around Lamar better, and this is another example of that. I just get annoyed by all of the, like, you hear the noise if you're the Ravens. You've heard all of the people talk about you're not surrounding this MVP with weapons, and you try to act like you're going to go draft them. You're going to go find guys in free agency, but the best you can find in free agency is Nelson damn Agholor. Just so on brand from the Ravens front office, Eric DaCosta. They need to be better. They need to be better. That's the truth of the matter. And Nelson Agholor, seriously. I mean, really. After all of the talk, that's who you settle on. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Let's go ahead and get to a break, though, on that note. When we come back, we'll get to small talk.
Here on 92.9, we talk ball every weekday from 4 till 7 p.m. Except right now, it's time for Big Man Small Talk on 92.9's Gabe Kuhn Show.
And Small Talk is presented by the Memphis Touchdown Club. Speaker Series is right around the corner. Here, Ryan Silverfield, April 4th, and tour the Memphis Tiger football facility. On that day as well, go to memphistouchdownclub.com for tickets and more information. Now, I brought this up, and I know you're a glasses guy. I brought this up yesterday. Before I get into the main crux of small talk today, are you a contact lens guy? I'm still getting my ass kicked. I can't put them in.
Yeah. And I notice you're like me. You usually have glasses on.
They're just convenient.
The only time I wear contact lenses is when the expectation is like a wedding or a function where there will be pictures and I don't want glare and you want to present well, I guess.
That's the
only time I wear contact lenses.
Yeah, and I'm getting them, wedding coming up in
September.
Yeah, you're
going to have for your
like
wedding,
that type
right?
of thing.
Yeah.
You
and I have mostly glasses all the time.
Any advice on getting the damn things in?
Throwaways if you can. Are you using throwaways? Or
I have I'm sort of in a trial period here. I tried the monthlies and the dailies.
Yeah, the daily throwaways are the best because if something's wrong with them, they're daily throwaways.
Yeah.
The stakes are kind of low.
Yeah.
As far as putting them in, I have never gotten comfortable with putting in contact lenses. There is something, and I know
some people are just so easy. And I have
small
eyes.
My wife is an
ace.
My wife is awesome at it.
I have like the very like my eyes. It's hard.
Big
to really
man, small
get them
eyes.
Yeah,
you gotta
big
get
man,
in.
Small eyes.
Yeah,
yes.
It's hard to get it in there.
Yeah, it's it's hard.
I have big ass eyes, and
it's
I still
hard.
Can't do
like,
it.
Like I can't get it done. And I guess I'm just a little too like with the eyeball touching. It just
I'm
there's
a little,
a mental block.
No, I'm with you. It's like I don't like hand on eyeball. Basically,
yes. that's hand that's on eyeball.
Yeah, I heard you guys talking about this, and you and I think are in the same hemisphere when it comes to contact lenses.
Yeah, I need to try to work those in.
Advice for
then.
Gabe: tweet at our afternoon host here.
Yesterday I got a lot of tweets on it, and basically it was you'll
get over
used
it, bro.
To it. You'll be all right.
Yeah, just start shoving your hand in your eye.
I'm just being,
you're
basically,
being a little
basically, yeah. A
you're
lot
kind
of people calling
bee.
Me soft. That's kinda, really what
yeah,
it is.
Yeah,
you're being soft.
It did sound like it.
Quit being squeamish.
Hey, it's okay to
get
be soft.
Get over it.
Softness is okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well, playing football,
don't judge.
It's never been okay in my
life,
right?
No.
But sometimes there's just some things.
We talked about football players doing yoga earlier. Come on.
Is that soft?
It's a softer type of a thing for a football player.
But if you're
player.
Working out and you're playing football, I mean, we sort of ignore that, right?
No.
You're just adding it on top of your
it's
workload.
Extra work. No, it's just like you don't usually bring that up in the conversation of football when you're talking about
now,
Zen.
Now, speaking of which, this is a great transition. On the Joe Rogan Experience, former NFL player Derek Wolfe, defensive tackle, all-pro defensive tackle, Pro Bowl defensive tackle for the Ravens and then for the Broncos, he joined Joe Rogan. And what he had to say was so interesting. One, he let people know that he played 2 weeks after being temporarily paralyzed in a game with the Broncos. So he got temporarily paralyzed, taken off the field on a stretcher, basically, on a back plate, and then played 2 weeks later. So there's that.
That's crazy.
But also, this is speaking of football players and being built different, and I know there's hockey players out there that are built different, basketball players, the whole thing, but more, I mean, per capita, football players are built different.
Yes.
He also shared that he played in an NFL game where he microdosed mushrooms and took Adderall before the game. One, like, that's like different ends of the spectrum, right? Like mushrooms
and Adderall. Is it an up and a down?
Yeah,
it's an up and a down.
I mean, I don't even know if you call mushrooms a downer, right? That would be more. I mean, it's
space trippy.
You know, you get hypnotic. You get
contact. You're getting high.
Yeah,
it's a high.
But like, to mix that with Adderall, he said he microdosed mushrooms before the game. Like, how do you go about dealing with yourself on a and he's a defensive tackle.
Yes.
He's playing in the trenches.
Yes.
Getting knocked around. Crazy. Now, I have heard something. Jake Plummer put this out there, and I think Jake Plummer does like the I don't know.
Medicinal stuff?
But he does like medicinal mushrooms.
Okay.
Like medicinal, and I think psilocybin
hallucinogens?
Is what they yeah, hallucinogens. Apparently, though, I have heard for brain activity, it's actually a decent thing for guys to microdose on certain like mushrooms. Obviously not anything crazier than that. I have actually, Jake Plummer is super into this. You'd have to go look it up, and I don't have all the information in front of me.
Yes.
But apparently for traumatic brain injuries and potential traumatic brain injuries, it's not a bad thing.
It's good.
Obviously you don't go crazy. Everything
microdose.
You take it as they come.
With
you don't do a lot of them.
I don't mean to sound skeptical. But here's me sounding
skeptical.
Yeah, it's the old disclaimer, right? I think anytime you talk about the word dosage, like when you, I think people have started putting micro in front of it to make themselves feel better.
Sound better, yeah.
You know, it's like mini dosage. I like lots of mini dosage.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
no, I get it.
It's kind of like a setup.
It's like an excuse to do drugs, basically.
Yeah,
right?
You know,
I
hear that heroin in incredibly small dosages. It's like, bro.
No, you're still doing it. You're still dosing
yeah,
it.
Like,
you're still doing the drugs.
You follow me? Like,
yeah, no, I get it.
It's like, listen to what we're saying here. He's like, you know, I noticed a lot of pain before I would play in games, and then I started microdosing.
And I feel so much
and
better.
And now I'm able to play with the pain.
Yes.
You know?
Because you're forgetting about the pain,
it's
maybe.
Like, yeah.
Who knows?
It's funny, the team has asked me to use these microdoses of Toradol when my leg is torn up.
Yeah, Toradol, great in microdoses, yeah. Okay.
Those are macrodoses.
Yeah, for real, for real. Now, on that note, we have 30 minutes until the end of this show, the end of the week here on the Gabe Kuhn Show. We're going to spend it wisely. Kevin Sweeney will join next, and we'll also get to the rewind.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.